But let's not forget, we're writing on a blank slate. We have President Trump's first term, 2016 to 2020, which provides some indicators of the impact of his strategies and initiatives. But we need to acknowledge that the new Trump administration has several different initiatives and even questions some of its actions during the first administration, or at least some of the personnel have been questioned.
Global companies face unprecedented risks and challenges in today's economy. To mitigate these legal and economic risks, companies are rapidly embracing and elevating the importance of robust ethics and compliance programs to promote positive corporate citizenship. On Corruption, Crime, and Compliance, you'll hear from industry leaders and insiders about how to create effective ethics and compliance programs that will mitigate risks and maximize financial performance. Here's your host, Michael Volkoff.
Welcome. This is Michael Volkoff and another episode of Corruption, Crime, and Compliance. And today we're going to talk about the new Trump administration that's coming in, or the second Trump administration, and try to figure out some enforcement and compliance priorities, what's going to change, what's not. A lot of this is still in flux. Even from the time I wrote for the blog, we've had some announcements, for example, Matt Gaetz as Attorney General, Todd Blanche, Trump's defense lawyer, as the Deputy Attorney General, and Emil Bulville, who was also a part of the team, is going to be the number three AAG, the number three at the Justice Department. And then the Solicitor General is nominated as going to be George Sauer, who argued the Trump immunity case before the Supreme Court. In any event, so let's talk as the dust settles. There's a lot more that's going to happen besides just those DOJ appointments that I mentioned. Companies are quickly and should be looking at what are the implications for the economy, business environment, new enforcement priorities, and compliance implications. When new administrations come into power, change is inevitable, given the change with President Trump's return to the White House and in light of several of his stated intentions. Companies should prepare for this new environment. And the priorities are focused on spurring economic growth, reducing the size of government, trying to reduce inflation, most importantly, imposing tariffs and stringent trade sanctions, preserving tax cuts, like I said, increasing immigration enforcement, which is likely to see workplace raids being conducted for making sure that employees are adequately documented, I-9s and things like that, and dismantling the deep state or administrative state, as they call it. And I think they're going to be definitely, and it's been made clear already, that they're going to be digging into the U.S. Department of Justice to make reforms to increase oversight and control of prosecutors and law enforcement. And this is an important initiative and could have far-reaching implications for criminal prosecutions and initiatives. Foreign policy is likely to be an initial and important priority, the status of the Ukraine-Russia war, the Middle East conflict, and the U.S. relationship with its European allies. All of these will cause the United States to adjust some of its current initiatives, particularly with regard to the Russia sanctions program. But let's not forget, we're writing on a blank slate. We have President Trump's first term, 2016 to 2020, which provides some indicators of the impact of his strategies and initiatives. But we need to acknowledge that the new Trump administration has several different initiatives and even questions some of its actions during the first administration, or at least some of the personnel have been questioned. Indeed, in some cases, the Trump administration has explained that they relied too much on traditional government operatives. And the Trump administration, I think, intends to take more aggressive actions to achieve certain objectives. And I think you can see that from the appointment of Matt Gaetz as the Attorney General. From the ethics and compliance perspective, the Trump administration's most significant initiatives include a new foreign policy designed to end the Russia-Ukraine war, increase pressure on China and Iran, and reduce United States' roles in NATO and foreign affairs in general. Number two, increased trade sanctions, tariffs, and trade wars, which is going to have implications for export controls and sanctions enforcement. Department of Justice reforms and increased control over law enforcement. Elimination of federal regulations and reduced enforcement of environmental, labor, and workplace issues. immigration, there may be immigration raids, but when I say workplace issues, things like, you know, safety, OSHA, their authority, I think, is going to be diminished. As explained in the following discussion that we're going to have, much of this activity, though, is going to, much of the government's activity continues with little to no change. There are many activities that the federal government is responsible for, and those activities will continue, even with some of the marked changes that the Trump administration is proposing. So let's start first with the trade and tariff enforcement issue. And I think this is where we're going to see at least changes quickly in the foreign policy area with the Russia-Ukraine war. I think there's going to be increased focus on Iran and its proxies. And we could see that with some of the appointments being made as the ambassador for Israel. And some of the other folks are pretty aggressively in support of Israel in the Middle East conflict. And we're going to see an aggressive use of trade policies. This has been promised. So tariffs, sanctions, and to really execute this policy. And, you know, since the start of the Russia-Ukraine war and the unprecedented global sanctions and export controls regime, we've seen trade enforcement and compliance risen to, you know, a top priority issue. The Justice Department's assignment of 25 new prosecutors to the National Security Division for sanctions enforcement against companies reflected this important priority. And I think we're going to see continued prosecution of sanctions issues, even against companies and individuals. Now, companies have responded to this increased focus on export controls and trade compliance. We've seen more companies relying on automated tools, increased training, and more sophisticated trade risk management strategies. The investment was needed in the past and should be continued into the future. And I think the second Trump administration is going to keep putting this pressure on this issue. And they're going to remove, I think what's going to happen is you're going to see a removal of trade sanctions against Russia. But remember, that's going to be complicated by the allies and how long it takes for peace or some kind of resolution to be worked out and how much they are removed. It's hard to say. I think that Trump is not going to just do it unilaterally. I think he's going to try to extract something from Russia in exchange for it. And we'll see more trade sanctions, and I think more secondary trade sanction enforcement against Iran. And I think we're going to see a big uptick in export controls against China and other bad trade actors in terms of North Korea as well. But those are pretty aggressive already. But China, I think, and Iran is where we're going to see a lot of change. And assuming that we do bring to a close the Russia-Ukraine war, the State Department and OFAC eventually will relax the sanctions regime. But like I said, this is going to take more time than I think everybody thinks. And the China-United States trade activities is going to get more complicated because of tariffs, because of forced labor concerns, and because of other types of sanctions that have been increasingly targeting certain industries in China. So this is going to be really interesting. And Iran, I think there's just no doubt they're going to try to increase pressure on Iran and squeeze Iran's economy as tight as possible and use their secondary sanctions like they have been against Russia. And they're going to use these same tools in the coming months, I think, against Iran and China. To the extent that China engages or buys, you know, Iran's oil supplies, the State Department and OFAC will target these entities, I think, for secondary sanctions. In this environment, it makes it more important than ever to look at your trade compliance program. And by that, I mean sanctions, export controls, defense materials, if you're in that part of the industry, and ITAR enforcement will increase as well. And the Department of Commerce's Bureau of Industry and Security, the State Department's Directorate of Defense Trade Controls, along with OFAC, are going to continue their aggressive civil enforcement. But I think we're going to see more coming out of the Justice Department because they've already sort of been putting the pieces together. And building now a trade compliance program requires companies to reiterate senior leadership support of trade compliance, conduct of new or updated risk assessments, design and implementation of internal controls, training programs, and auditing, testing, and monitoring programs. Trade compliance will become, I think, even more complicated when we get into these new or expanded tariffs. Countries are likely to respond to these U.S. actions with their own trade barriers and tariffs and retaliatory trade measures and making everything more difficult for trade compliance. So companies need to really focus on the high-risk activities, enhance their monitoring of trade activities. And this is something that's going to be very important, I think, in the Trump administration days. So let's talk a little bit more about DOJ. The first thing I already mentioned, we're going to see some fundamental changes here. The first on the chopping block, besides obviously the political announcements that have already occurred, is the FBI. And under existing law, the FBI is a component of the Department of Justice, and presumably under the control and oversight of the Attorney General. Through the years, that sort of oversight has diminished for fear of interfering or being seen or having political people being seen as interfering with the work of the FBI. And I think the Trump administration is going to break that barrier right down, and they're going to increase it structurally and operationally. Structurally, they're going to increase and convert certain positions that may have been, let's say, career positions at DOJ that oversee the FBI into political positions so that they can have a political oversight of the FBI. And this is going to be designed to reduce the risk in their mind that the FBI can launch criminal investigations in response to political pressures. The Trump administration regularly cites the FBI's Crossfire Hurricane investigation of President Trump's ties to Russia during the 2016 election as a poster child of abuse. Now, to eliminate this potential, I think you're also going to see the departure quickly of Chris Wray, or the firing of Chris Wray. He has been on a target list, and they're going to install somebody who is going to be somebody who's much more favorable to the Trump political forces. And I think what's going to happen is DOJ officials are going to now get more involved, political officials, in the review and opening of investigations that have serious political overtones. And now this may have an impact on high-profile criminal investigations that require, you know, scrutiny of FBI investigations where the prosecutors work closely with the FBI. We could have more of a political influence here. We've already heard some comments that some people who in the past were accused of misconduct may be under criminal investigation under a new DOJ. We'll have to watch that and see what happens. Hard to predict how that's going to play out. Now, with regard to criminal enforcement in general, when President Trump first came into power in 2016, commentators predicted a significant reduction in criminal enforcement of corporate fraud, most importantly, the FCPA, antitrust, and environmental violations. And contrary to all those, you know, predictions, FCPA enforcement actually during 2016 to 2020 was robust, and no effort was made to eliminate enforcement. Indeed, the Trump administration imposed corporate compliance monitors in a few of the more egregious bribery cases. Now, with respect to antitrust, that's going to be an interesting area. The Trump administration's record between 2016 to 2020 included reduced civil enforcement, reduced merger enforcement, and fairly steady, though, criminal enforcement. Since that time, however, I think there's been a broader consensus of a sort of bipartisan support of antitrust civil enforcement efforts. Nobody questions criminal, but civil enforcement, there used to be, I think, when a Republican administration would come in, there would usually be a reduction in that. And when the Democrats got into power, they would increase civil enforcement, not just mergers, but bringing civil cases. But I think a lot of this has been supported on sort of a more bipartisan level. And I don't know how much of a change there actually is going to be in the civil enforcement. I think merger enforcement might be reduced somewhat, and more sort of structural remedies may be imposed, or negotiated settlements may be, you know, more common. Corporate criminal enforcement, not antitrust, but corporate criminal enforcement has declined steadily over the last 10 years. And frankly, DOJ has never recovered, in my mind, from the 2008 financial crisis and its failure to prosecute responsible officials, and its reputation and commitment to white collars has just not recovered. Even the Biden administration's record, I think, was poor in white collar enforcement. particularly its failure to increase FCPA enforcement. At the beginning of its term, the Biden administration announced anti-corruption enforcement as an important priority, but really failed to deliver on this promise. I don't see the second Trump administration as ramping up significantly corporate criminal enforcement in any area, except with respect to sanctions and export controls. Aside from trade enforcement, DOJ's prosecutions of companies for fraud, environmental, and other white-collar crimes will probably remain pretty static with no significant increase or decrease. We will see a cutback in civil and some cutback in criminal enforcement of environmental laws. The first Trump administration reduced environmental EPA regulatory initiatives, and DOJ civil enforcement declined as well. This trend will recur, I think, once the new administration is in place. It's just not an enforcement priority for them. Now, I did mention immigration enforcement. A top priority for the new Trump administration is aggressive immigration enforcement, especially along the southern border. Now, this requires significant resources, most of which will be allocated at the specific U.S. attorney's offices along the border. AUSAs will be tagged for this priority, working with law enforcement and mostly with the CPB or ICE and some from the FBI. And this could have an impact on all the priorities of the Justice Department and FBI and Department of Homeland Security. And so this could lead to, I think, some reduction in other areas as well as a result of this. One area that I think will keep going pretty steady is going to be healthcare fraud. And healthcare fraud in the first Trump administration just continued along. And its False Claims Act, anti-kickback, and aggressive enforcement of healthcare fraud is likely to continue, particularly with the pressure on healthcare to reduce prices, the cost of healthcare. Now, on compliance in general, look, the Justice Department is the leading force on the importance of effective ethics and compliance programs. Its three editions of the Evaluation of Corporate Compliance Programs has set important standards and expectations. DOJ will not alter these expectations as a general matter. It is hard to say how this factor will be weighed in future corporate resolutions, but I think they will always promote the importance of ethics and compliance. They did in the first Trump administration as well. So there may be some changes at the margins, but basically companies are going to be expected to continue to promote a culture of ethics and compliance. Now, we do have a wild card in the proposed nominated Attorney General Matt Gaetz. We're not sure which way he's going to go. I think he would be a leader in sort of cutting back and targeting the FBI, like I mentioned before. Symbolically, I think it has a big impact on DOJ's work, and we'll have to see what happens. But we're going to also have to wait to see who they're promoting or going to put in as Assistant Attorney General for the Antitrust Division. That'll have a big impact in terms of what work they do. Well, anyways, it should be interesting, but we're just at the beginning and we'll keep tabs on this and see what's going to unfold at the Department of Justice and across the administration. Thanks again, everybody, and we'll see you next week for another episode of Corruption, Crime, and Compliance.
If you enjoyed this episode, the best way to support the show is by subscribing on your favorite listening platform. To learn more and connect with Michael Volkoff, go to volkovlaw.com.